Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss at the lowest price available. That's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to row.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Go247, Andre Champagne. Andre, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, how's it going, Mike? It's been a little minute. How y'all doing here with Saints camp rolling around?
We're doing good, but now you cranked up now. Day two of LSU, and so tell us the highlights, or at least a little bit that you got to see today.
And have y'all been able to witness Sam Levitt, not just like warm up, but like, boy, that looked good. Just comment on that.
Yeah, so actually we're about to get ready here for day two. They actually practice at 6:30 tonight, which is a weird time.
Yeah, he pushed that back. I saw that.
Yeah, so that's what they're doing now. They're kind of alternating practices, which is it's a little different here, Mike. We're so used to, you know, the Brian Kelly get out there in the morning or in the midst of the heat. I think it's a cool change. But yeah, day one, there wasn't too much here going on. I stuck with the defense, but you know, some things that really stood out to me is just the intensity at practice. I mean, obviously, the entire staff is pretty adamant about not wasting a rep and you know, giving it, you know, your all every single time you hit the field, and you could tell, right? Like, there was no sort of kind of laziness out on the field. The assistants were very vocal, and I think that was pretty nice to see, because, you know, in the Brian Kelly era, it felt like things could have gotten a little monotone at practice at certain points, and it just kind of felt like practice, if you know what I mean. But you know, from a physical standpoint, the guys look really good on defense. You know, Ty Benefield is a guy that, you know, just watching him in individual drills, the guy he can turn his hips quick, and he can get uphill really, really fast. And so you mix that with his knowledge and of the game and ability to kind of read the field, you're going to have a really, really good player there. And Deuce Gerald, you know, he came in at 6'1", 279 pounds. He looks like he might have, you know, added some muscle on, which is huge, because obviously – he's going to be seeing some big boys down there in the SEC if he's going to, you know, get thrown into the fire day one. And then, you know, another guy that kind of stood out to me day one was Deshaun Spears. You know, just his ability to kind of go sideline to sideline. He moves into that star role. And, you know, I think that's a more natural fit for his just kind of play style, right? Like, he played free safety last year, lined up a little bit at nickel, and now he kind of gets to live in the box, which is where he really found a lot of success last year. And so I think those were kind of some of the I would say those kind of stood out on day one. Now, as far as the quarterbacks, Mike, you know, Sam Levitt, he looks pretty good. And then just from a, you know, you kind of see they're trying to get, I guess, their chemistry still down. There's a lot of time still left to do that. But what really was concerning was quarterback two and three.
Now, when you look at LSU fans, you know, have asked me this, well, I mean, hopefully that's the case, that we can win on the offensive defensive line. But to me, even looking at the Saints, can you run and can you stop the run? Because I know Lane Kiffin's going to want to run the football. And, and that was probably one of the most disappointing things under Coach Kelly was how the offensive line was a weak link. And even the defensive line not being as disruptive as we've seen in the past.
You know, the craziest part about that, Mike, is you had a guy like Bo Davis come in, and, you know, you just had so many defensive line coaches over the last few years. You had Kyle Williams, you had Bo Davis, you had just so many guys come in, and you can't one thing you've got to learn is in the SEC, without, you know, that continuity, you're not going to be very successful. And I think that kind of showed during Brian Kelly's tenure, especially in the trenches, right? Like, defensive line was probably the biggest weakness that that team has had over the past 3 years. And now that they kind of have, you know, a new coach that's got some experience, and, you know, you keep Kevin Peoples for another year here and have some sort of continuity with him, you know, and then you look at the talent standpoint, right? Like, it jumps out. The size is there. They have versatility on the line, right? And even last year, like, they weren't bad in terms of kind of stopping the run and things of that sort, but they couldn't really get to the quarterback. And I think that's going to change this year.
Yeah, I think the two keys there, Ewan Malin and Jordan Ross, got to play Sikkim. Andre, one of the things, kind of break down the cornerback position, because that's seemingly, if there's an area that has virtually no depth to it, it's really the cornerback position, and the depth you have, they haven't played. Freshman guys.
It's true. I mean, like, you look at the cornerback room right now, and honestly, that's my biggest question mark going into the season, because, Mike, you know, like, in terms of the most physically demanding out of some of these guys, it's the skill guys, and that's who you see get hurt the most during the season. I mean, look at what happened to LSU's wide receivers last year. So, I mean, look, like, you have really two, you know, just huge pieces in P.J. Woodland and D.J. Pickett that, you know, if they stay healthy, Grant, all right, like, knock on wood, they're good enough to get you to a college football, not national championship, say, but to the playoffs at least, right? And then, you know, after that, it's just such a big question. You have a guy in Jakeem Jackson who they're really looking, who that staff is really looking for to step up. You know, it's his second year in the program. He's battled some injuries. Corey Raymond kind of recruited him when he was at Florida. And so, I mean, as from a physical standpoint, Jakeem has the kind of tools, but he's got to be able to improve quickly, because if not, you know, he'll get left in the dust and they'll give an opportunity to another guy like Michael Turner. But, you know, that's another guy that's been running with the second team. And he's just – my concern there, Mike, is like, you can't put Michael Turner on a guy that's 6'2". Michael Turner is way too small. He's a guy that's about 168, 170. And that's just a little too slim in the SEC. You have so many wide receivers that you might, I mean, look at Jeremiah Smith, right? Like, just would bully these guys. But right now, I'm expecting big things from true freshman Haven Finney. That's a kid that had a really, really good spring despite being pretty raw getting to Baton Rouge. And you could tell physically he had a, you know, he's on the slimmer side too, but he makes up with it with his footwork, and he's a guy that can track it and really, really exceptional in zone too. So I think that's going to be a guy that steps up. Levante Williams is a guy that maybe they're looking to lean on. Maybe he's 6'3". He's got the size. So just from a physical standpoint, that's some of the guys that we're looking at. But you're right. The inexperience itself is alarming. And so you're just pretty much counting on these guys to have super good month kind of heading into the opener.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss at the lowest price available. That's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to row.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Now, Andre, when you look at looking at the offensive line now, who would you say that you could count on, the most consistent offensive lineman? Is it the center, Braylon Moore?
I would think Jordan Seaton, just the experience that he has. I mean, one thing you obviously, the edge rushers in the SEC are evolving. They're getting quicker. They're getting quicker without having to, you know, lose their strength. And so you're going to have a guy, especially on the blind side, to be able to protect your quarterback. I think Seton has been a guy that's pretty much locked down that spot since the day he came, since he arrived at Baton Rouge, I guess.
And, from Colorado, you know, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, from Colorado. He's got some experience, battled some injuries over there. So you kind of, there's another question mark there, but you know, after that, I would certainly throw Braylon Moore into that. You know, a lot of people are going to, you know, they're going to say how bad LSU's offensive line last year, but they're not going to remember that Braylon Moore only allowed one sack in all the appearances that he had and, you know, the pass coverage snaps. You know, that's a guy that I think he's going to really benefit from a scheme standpoint in terms of, like, hey, this is a guy that we can actually pull. A lot more creative runs are probably going to be utilized within Charlie Weiss and Kiffin's system. So that's going to be a guy I'm pretty excited to watch and see how he kind of, gets used to that offense.
You know, speaking of Kiffin's system, I think here you have a weapon in Tre'Davious Green that I know Kiffin's going to know how to utilize him. So no excuse, you take that next step. Now, you know, Kiffin, people don't realize, and Charlie, we were talking about that, like six straight years, Ole Miss's offense has averaged 36 points. Well, if your defense is worth anything, you can see why the success of the program.
He had nobody like Tre'Davious.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I look how, even though he wants to run the ball, that can't help. If you can run it to help Tre'Davious Green, you know, that's always the quarterback's best friend.
It's true. I mean, they're going to have to be able to run the ball to be successful. And my thing is, LSU's interior offensive line was so bad last year that they just could, you know, and they were so basic in concepts to the fact that every smart team, I mean, you got the Mike Elkos, you got, you know, just you have defensive coordinators in the SEC. They're going to pick up on that when they watch film. They're going to say, hey, they have like three plays that really work. Everything else, we're going to rely on our strength and inside, and that's exactly what they did. This year, they're not going to be able to do that with LSU. I mean, they're going to have to keep them on their toes. And I think just bringing Ali Oba in from Maryland, just with his really, really good experience and you know, even Bo Bordelon, that was a guy that last summer we thought had made a really good stride. He was, you know, taking reps with the second team. We just never really saw him. And so I think, you know, if he can continue that momentum that he had in the spring, I think this is going to be a lot better offensive line than what, you know, what we saw last year, obviously.
Andre, I get asked this a lot about who's going to be LSU's punt returner this year, punt kick return guy. And I said, man, I'll put about six or seven names in the hat and pull.
Yeah,
so from what you've been able to gather, I think that's still an open competition. I do think Caden Durham and Harlan Berry. Yeah. I'm interested in how they use Harlan on offense, too, because I think you'll be seeing him a lot in the slot, sort of semi-running back wide receiver. But your thoughts on the punt kick return game?
Yeah, so kick return, what we saw a lot in the spring, at least, it was more the running backs. So what they were kind of doing was They threw in a lot of Dylan Jones. They threw Harlan Berry side of him. And they also did a little bit of Caden Durham with that, too. So I think they're going to mix a lot of those guys in. And punt return was kind of more the receiver-heavy guys. I don't think you're going to see the running backs get in there and, you know, field punts. But, I mean, you got a guy like Winnie Watkins who's elusive as heck, and, you know, he can fit within any gap he gets, and he's gone. And another guy was like Jace Brown was someone we saw that has the ability to do that. Eugene Wilson was another one. I would think it's going to be between those three. Now, I think Corey Barber and Jabari Mack, those are two incoming freshmen that are true freshmen, sorry, that have the ability to do that. I just don't think they're going to allow them to do that right away. I don't think they take that chance.
Andre, did you hear Coach O's voice yesterday? I thought I heard it over there when we were watching practice with the Saints.
I did, and I put it out on Twitter. I was like, this just feels right. You know, like it, LSU football just feels right with Coach O in the building, and it's nice to see him wearing the purple and gold now, you know, especially he embodies everything LSU and Louisiana. I mean, you know that.
Now, Andre, how important is it for the defense, not only because he's an outstanding player when he's healthy, but what weeks to stay healthy?
Yeah.
The leadership
he
provides and how impactful he can be for the defense.
I mean, he's huge. That's the heart of the defense. You saw look at the breakdowns these defenses had. LSU's defense was exceptional last season. But look at the breakdowns. Like let's look here. When Marcel Reed ran all over him, I can guarantee you that Diego Pavia would not have been as great as he would have if Wood Weeks was fully healthy, obviously, and just down the road, right? Like, you know, he just was, even when he was in the game, it just didn't feel like he was there. And so I think just him being back is obviously huge because, one, he's vocal, but, two, he's so talented. Look what he did his sophomore year. He was first-team SEC. He led the team in tackles. He was someone that offensive coordinators had the game plan around. And with him kind of, I guess, just kind of comboing with T.J. Dottery, another guy that is just so experienced, that's going to be a really, really fun room to watch, especially since you got a guy like Deshaun Spears who's going to be in the box now. And honestly, look, as bad as last year was, it was a blessing in disguise that a guy like Devon Keyes and Tylan Singleton were able to get as many snaps as they did, because look at the depth in college football. You don't have much. They have a lot in this linebacker room, and I feel very, very comfortable if there was an injury that was for a week or two, Devon Keyes or Tylan Singleton could go hold it down.
Andre, last question for you. Lamar Brown. Okay,
yeah.
For most guys that play defensive end, what? 245, 250.
Yep.
Man, he's a lot more than that. He's a big dude to play defensive end. So your thoughts, and again, for all freshmen, that's a learning curve from high school to college. But your thoughts on Lamar, and because I think they're counting on him to get some meaningful snaps this year.
Yeah, for sure, because that's another position that doesn't have as much depth as they want. But Lamar looks good. Like, physically, you know, he got to LSU pretty big, and I think he lost a little bit of weight, but they didn't want to shed too much off of him because they knew, like, we talked with Lamar and in the spring, and he was kind of saying, hey, they're going to use me as an edge, but they might move me, you know, on certain down and, you know, distance and down situations that he might move on the interior if there's a three-man rush, right? And I think he would thrive in those situations, right? So I think they're going to kind of use him in a hybrid role. I think he's going to be an edge his entire career at LSU? I don't think so, just because of the stature, but I'm interested to, like, I really want to see some one-on-ones and see how that translates to you know, him going up against a big SEC tackle. But, you know, the size does kind of worry me. But one of his best and strongest suits while he was at U-High was he was able to set the edge in the run game. He was really, really good at doing that. And so they need guys that are going to be able to, you know, set the edge. And say you have a guy like Lamar Brown on one side and you have a speedier guy, and say Jordan Ross on the other end, right? Like that's, you know, that's a good 1-2 combo. You have some versatility there. So I'm interested to see what Sterling Lucas does in sense of the rotation there, and just kind of the timeliness of when he'll be used as an interior, because I don't think it's a matter of if, I think it's a matter of, you know, when he's kind of put on the interior in certain situations this year.
Now, Andre, hopefully it's a September to remember, and you know the natives can get restless real quick.
Yeah.
Boy, look at Clemson at home, Louisiana Tech at Ole Miss, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they can't afford to be like 1-3, or people might be bitching if they're 2-2. It's like almost, okay, undefeated, yes, of course, we always won that. But it's like, I don't know, it's kind of, they got to almost like be 3-1. I mean, you know, you're looking at the playoffs in the future, that September, it's going to be a challenge, and you know, hopefully it's a positive one.
Yeah, like, Mike, I think it's just so important to win the home ones. Like, you got to win the home games. If LSU gets in a hole where it loses that Ole Miss game and it loses that A&M, things could really, really get bad. So it's important that they win the home ones.
Andre, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it, bud. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Andre.
Andre Champagne, sports reporter for GOAT247.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.